it's good to be here today, and it's good to see everybody that we have out with us. So I'm just thankful for your presence today. I read this in an article at the beginning of an email thing I got, and I thought, well, what a great idea. And so then I worked on it and developed it up into the sermon that I have today. And I just think I should have come up with that idea, but I didn't. You may have heard it before, I don't know. But it says that sincere humility attracts. The lack of humility subtracts. Artificial humility detracts. And I read that and I said, that's amazing to think about. I don't know why I hadn't thought about that. Humility is the state of being in an humbleness of mind or spirit. That's what that word means. And to be humble, the word to be humble means to be meek or modest, to be aware of your state of importance compared to others, and to honor and put others first, especially God. And I thought about this, and I thought about my own life, and I thought of many things I don't want to tell you about today. I just have to say I haven't always been that humble. But now, the man Moses was very meek above all men which are upon the face of the earth. Moses was a very humble man. He had humility more than anybody else upon the face of the earth. And I said, there's someone we can focus on. There's someone we can think about. Moses. He was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Now I want you to consider this morning Moses. Now, I'm not going into every detail of his life. That would be a very good personal study for us to do, for anybody to do, to look at Moses and his life, and how he dealt with God, and how God dealt with him, and the things he went through, and the things he did. You know, Moses killed an Egyptian. When he had become of age and he realized who he was, that he was children of Israel, one of them, and he went out to see how his brothers and sisters were doing, and he saw a slave driver beating one of them. And I don't know that he got angry or whatever, but he killed that man. He's supposed to be humble. He killed that man, and then when he found out that he saw his two brothers fighting, he went out and talked to them. I guess he thought they were supposed to recognize him as a leader, but they didn't. And he said, well, Pharaoh knows about it. And sure enough, Pharaoh found out, and Pharaoh saw his life, and he fled. He ran into the wilderness and hid. And there he come up on some people tending the flock, and some ladies trying to tend to the sheep, the flock that they had, and well, he helped them. And he eventually became the tender of Jethro's flock. And later on in time, he married his daughter, this man Moses. And while he was out there in the wilderness tending this man's sheep, he saw a burning bush. It didn't burn up. And he wanted to see about it. And God talked to him there. And God told him that he wanted him to go deliver the children of Israel. And he said, not me. I'm not a leader. I'm not an eloquent speaker. They won't believe me. And he contended with God there. And I can imagine a man would argue with God. And God said, this man is meek above all men. And finally it says, God got angry at him. He told him, well, there's Aaron. He'll speak for you. And he sent him. He still chose Moses to be the leader, to lead him out. And we see that Moses went. He didn't question God about that, but he went. He went to deliver him, and he went and he done whatever God told him to do from then on. Without doubting, without questioning. He was a person, you might say, that trusted in God and obeyed God unquestioningly. But he made a mistake. He endured a lot of hardship and conflicts and people standing up against him, but he made one mistake in his humbleness and his meekness with God. God told him to speak to the rock. And I guess Moses, like every man upon the earth, had a problem with pride. He had been leading these people. He said, must I bring forth water for you? And he struck the rock. And because of that, God didn't let him in the promised land. But he even contended with God on the behalf of the children of Israel. I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 14. In Numbers chapter 14, we won't begin reading verse 10. Verse 10. He says here, it's where the children of Israel had sent in spies to seek out the promised land. And they came back, and two men said that the Lord would give it to us, and the rest of them were opposed to it. And all the congregation gone stone these two men to death, because they said the Lord could give them the land, and they wanted to go into that land. Verse 10, it says, but all the congregation, they stoned them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And see, they were going to take Joshua and Caleb, they were going to take them out there and stone them. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? You know, they walked through the Red Sea. He fed them with manna. He gave them quail to eat. He gave them water to drink on two different occasions when they're out there where there wasn't no water. And yet now they didn't believe God that could give them this land. And he says in verse 12, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by the daytime, and in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now Moses couldn't believe God now is going to destroy them all. That's what God said he's going to do. It's one of the few times I know where God said something that didn't come to pass, where God changed his mind, and Moses did. He says in verse 15, now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let thy power of my Lord be great in accordance to thy spoken saying. The Lord is long-suffering. Notice what Moses did. He's using God's own words, talking to God, contending with God. Says the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Humility, we sometimes misunderstand what that word means. Because sometimes we think humility is being without backbone. You know, we think to be humble, we got to be this rag of person that don't care whether anything goes this way or that way. And we just think the person is really humble. He's just so meek and humble. Well, that's not what that word means. You see, we don't really understand it sometimes. Humility is a hard thing to get hold of. If we work and work and work to be humble, and when we say, well, now I'm so humble, you just failed at being humble. You just lost humility. You can't do that. Humility is difficult, and we all have to work at it. Moses had to work at it, and he's the most meek man upon all the face of the earth. And we have to work at it too. Humility does not mean being spineless, as you can see with Moses and his life. It does not mean just going along with everyone and everything they want us to do. No. Moses stood over and over again against people that stood against him. He stood up for the good of others, even when others did not want it, when they didn't recognize it was for their own good. That's the kind of man Moses was. He did the will of God, and he stood for the will of God, even when they complained and accused him falsely of trying to be a mightier than thou kind of person. I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 12. We'll begin reading here with verse number 1. Here we see the humility and the meekness of Moses. We see the humbleness of Moses. It says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses, because the Egyptian woman knew he had married, for he had married an Egyptian woman. Now I want you to know, they spake against Moses many times. They complained to Moses and to God about being thirsty in the wilderness. They complained about not having food to eat. They complained about whenever he led them over there to enter the promised land. They complained then. They complained and grumbled against Moses the whole way. But Moses, you know how he contended for the people? How he tried to get the people to do right? And he didn't stand up to his sister and say, away with you and down with you, or do anything to harm them. He just let them complain. Verse 2. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. He said he let God handle that problem. He had people that stood against him one time, and God said, Moses, you go down and divide the camp. You put those over here with Corey over there and all the rest of you over here, and we'll see who God talks to, who God delivers message to. And so he divided the camp, and the earth swallowed that whole group of people who stood against Moses. Now, he didn't do it. God did it. He didn't ask God to punish him in any way. He tried to get them to obey the will of God. Now, verse 3, it says, now that the Lord heard it, says verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the people which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, unto Aaron, and to Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the assembly to the Lord shall behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam was leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. So God gave her leprosy. Now Moses didn't do that. And I want you to notice the manner of man Moses was. Moses stood up for God, and I think this is what he's talking about. He said, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Moses was faithful in all things toward God, except for that one time. And I think that's what he's talking about when he said he was very meek above all men upon the earth. Turn over to Hebrews in chapter 11. We here in Hebrews, it kind of gives us a little short statement about Moses' life, but you can see the kind of man Moses was. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start reading here with verse number 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, with Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith, that goes in the walls of Jericho. But we see Moses was a man who lived by faith. A man who did whatever God said without question. He didn't say, God, why we got to go this way? He didn't say, God, why do I have to go up on Mount Sinai? He didn't say, why we got to wander in the wilderness? The only time he ever contended with God was for the other people, for the Israelites, for the children of Israel. for their good, not for his. Turn over to Matthew chapter 18. Jesus speaks about being humble here. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus gives us a good understanding of humility and being humble. And when I think about this statement, I have to compare it with the life of Moses. Matthew 18, verse 1. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. And at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How do we become little children? Humble himself. You know, that teaches us something there, that humility is not something that's natural to the human being. We have to work at it. We have to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves that it's not us, but we do God's will. Humble ourselves that we're like Moses. It's not about me, but it's about the others. That's kind of what Moses was. And he was humble that he did whatever God said without questioning. He trusted God, he believed in God, and he trusted him, and he followed him without questioning. And I'm thinking, what? That's kind of what it is he's talking about, to be like little children. What does it mean to be humble like a little child? Look, is little children humble? Think about the relationship the little children have between the parents. The little child trusts his parents without questioning. He don't always want to do, but he trusts what they say, and he knows what they say is best, even when he don't want to do what they tell him to do. The little children, the real small children, they love their parents and they trust their parents unquestionably. And they always want to please their parents. Even when they get a little older, they're a little bit rebellious. Still, deep down, they want to please their parents. They want their parents to be proud of them. Children are that way. And that's the way we should be with God. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about there. How that the little children, you know, they obey their parents without questioning, even when they are being abused. You take children out of an abusive situation, and they love their mother and dad, and they still want to be with their mother and dad, though their mother and dad beat them up, throw them around, don't care nothing about them, and show that obviously to everybody around but them. They can't see that, because they love their parents and they trust their parents, even when their parents will send them out to do evil, they'll go do it. Some children have stolen because their parents would tell them to do it wrong. And so I think that's what Christ is talking about there, to be humble like a little child. You know, the pride of man is the opposite of being humble. But to understand humility, we can look at the opposite of what that is. You know, having a proud heart is the opposite of being humble. And the pride of man is behind most every sin, if you think about it. Psalms 59 and 12, For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, for cursing and lying which they speak. I never thought about that, but people that curse and people that lie, they're actually just proud in heart. That's just the problem. They think they're smarter than everybody else. And they think they can say what they want to when they get ready to say it any way they want to say it. The proud of heart, the proud are too proud. They won't obey God. Proverbs 16 and 18, it says, Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. We still all haughty, look out, we're going to fall. Matthew 23, let's look at Matthew 23 and verse 4 through 12. Matthew 23, verse 4. He says, speaking here about the scribes and the Pharisees that sit in Moses' seat, he said, For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men. they make broad the phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. You know, we don't wear phylacteries, and sometimes people do enlarge the borders of their garments to put padding in there. But the thing we want to notice there is they do their things to be seen of men. And the love of the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogue and greeting in the markets to be called of men rabbi. And, but be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master in Christ and all your brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master in Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall honor himself shall be exalted. There's the key. You know, we have to humble ourselves. You know, humble ourselves that God would exalt us. And when we come before God in prayer, we need to be very humble of heart. Not just pretense, but a sincere humility. A sincere humbleness. Look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 10. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, and the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. You know, I've heard people pray like that. And it hit me hard. I did not have the same esteem for that person that I used to have. Because if we're going to pray, we need to be humble and realize we're all sinners and we all need the Lord. He said, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote under his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. And Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. That's what the humility that I think Christ is talking about when he talks about little children being humble. That type of humility. Not to lift ourselves up, but to lift ourselves down, to humble ourselves, to humble ourselves under the hand of God, to do as God would have us to do. That in the end we can overcome this world. James 4:6, but he that giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. We want grace for our sins. Then we need to humble ourselves before God. To be humble is to obey God, to trust him for our deliverance. Without question, trust him in all things. James 4:10 said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He is the one that lifts us up. What glory it will be to be lifted up by God. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 6. We want to read about things that God hates, the proud of heart. Proverbs chapter 6. We'll start reading verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. The heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet to be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep their father's commandments and forsake not the law of their mother. In 1 Peter 5:5, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all ye be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You think about that due time. And I think about Moses' life. When Moses became a grown man, about 40 years old, he went out to check on his brothers. And you see, he ran out and lived as a fugitive in the wilderness for 40 years. That's a long time. And then, God exalted him and he went to deliver his people, and he strove with them for 40 years in that wilderness. So he died at a ripe old age of 120 years when God took his life. But we see, God, sometimes we have to go through hard times in our lives. We humbly let it be so. Sometimes things are rough on us, like it was with Moses. But we humbly follow God without questioning, and without questioning that he loves us, and do his will with our lives. Matthew 7 and 12 says, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." When we have the right kind of heart, we'll be the right kind of person. We'll be of great value to God. Moses was of great value. In 1 Peter 3 and 4, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not a corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price." An humble spirit, an humble heart for God is of great value. And we need to humble ourselves to do God's will without questioning, without saying, "Why, Lord? Why me? Why does this happen to me? Why does this have to be this way? Why do I have to do that?" You know, the humble heart won't ask why. They just do. An humble spirit will believe God. Hebrews 11 and 6, "Our faith is impossible to please God. But he that comes to him must believe that he is, and that his reward is in them diligently seek him." An humble spirit will repent when he realizes he's done wrong. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning the promise, as some men count slackness, but as long suffered toward us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." And Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And you see where it comes from. An humble heart will confess faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, the evidence is there. It's in the world, and it's undeniable that there was a man named Jesus Christ. And an humble heart will confess that he is God's Son, as he said he was, as we realize how he died for us upon that cross. Romans 10:32 says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10:10. An humble spirit will be baptized for salvation, for that is God's will for you and I. That's God's will. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." This is God's will for our salvation in Jesus Christ, how we get into him. Look at 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, we'll start reading verse 18. "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And we skip down to verse 21, as he's talking about the flood there. He says, "The like figure of one to even baptism doth also now save us, not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but that for a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." What about in your life today? Have you humbled yourself under the hand of God to let your life be what God intended for it to be? You know, if you haven't obeyed him today in baptism, you're not humbled. Your spirit has not humbled itself to God. And if you need to be baptized in Christ today for salvation, then that now is an opportunity to do that without questioning it, without trying to get around it, without trying to find some other means, some other ways. And if you're here as a Christian today and you haven't been living that humble life with God, standing for the things that are right, and being a person like Moses for God, then we get an opportunity to repent of that today. To become the person that God wants you to be. You know, we're not Moses, but he has a task for us in his kingdom. You're here today and subject to the gospel call either way. We get an opportunity to let it be known as we stand and sing.